We are the sons of God and joint heirs with Christ, yet so if we suffer with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Suffering and pain are facts in everyone's life. In fact, at this very moment, I would venture to say that there's not a single one of you who does not have his particular cross or struggle or trial that he's dealing with at this moment. It could be anything, really. It could be temptations and worries and doubts, things like that. It could be the economy. It's always a big worry and on a lot of people's mind right now. It could be family problems, divisions and fights. It could be sickness, old age, or maybe you're worried about the death of a family member that seems to be coming quickly. But we all have our trials, whatever they might be. And you know them and God knows them. And perhaps no one else does but the two of you. And so suffering is in everyone's life and we're all faced with it and cannot escape it. The question is, though, what are we to do with it? What should we do with our sufferings? In the history of the human race, three solutions have been given for this question. The first two of them are wrong, and the third, correct. Well, the first one is to ignore it, just to ignore and hope it goes away, to deny its existence in our lives. This was the solution that people actually put into practice. I'm thinking of the Spartans of old. Then there's the American Indians, who it is said of the Indians that if they showed any sign of pain, they were considered weak of character. And so if you were captured by an enemy tribe and then taken and cruelly tortured and all of that, the Indians did not dare to show a sign of pain for fear that they would be treated more harshly and all of that. And so it wasn't, also as a side note, in the lives of St. John de Rebuff and St. Isaac Jogues, that when they were taken and captured, their fingernails ripped out and their fingertips chewed off and other terrible, excruciating pains were given to them. Well, St. John did not utter a word, a cry of pain or of complaint, because he knew the Indian code that you never let out a sign of pain when tortured. And so it was that when they were done, he showed such courage that they ate his heart, hoping to receive the same courage that our saint did. But enough of that one. The Indian code, though, is simply ignore the pain and it will go away. But however, this never seems to work. We can ignore it for a time and all of that, and it might seem to go away, but then just as quickly as it leaves, it comes right back with a vengeance. So that does not work. The second solution is to rebel against it. And this is something that we all do. Maybe not, we don't come right out and say, I rebel and I hate it and all of that. But in our own way, we all have a tendency to rebel against pain. We treat it as if it were the greatest enemy of our life and all of that. So we oftentimes, when the cross comes into our life, we lose our temper and our patience. We blame God, though again not outright, but we blame him for making us suffer. Or you'll read in the papers, anytime there's a natural disaster, you'll always read it. They always accuse God of being cruel and unjust, unkind, or they say, how can God call himself good when there is so much suffering in this life? And then at times, people will even begin to doubt God's existence simply because suffering exists. Some sort of cross has come into their world and has disturbed it, and they begin to doubt God's existence. And so this doesn't work either. Have you ever been in a case, I'm sure you have at one point or another, where some circumstance has taken part in your life that you cannot change? As much as you try, you cannot change it. We all have at one point or another. It might be that in your job you're moved to another city or a state that you really, really dislike, and you can't do anything about it. You just want to leave, but if you do, you lose your job. And you realize that you can rebel all you want, and you can say that you want to leave, but knowing that you can't, and all the while, all that does is makes the cross heavier and heavier that you have to carry. It doesn't do any good to rebel. So what's this third solution, though? This is the Christ-like solution given by Christ himself. It is simple. Acceptance. Accept the crosses that come your way. Whether you see God's providence in them or not, whether they come through a third person that you detest or not, it is a cross sent to you from God which you must accept in order to merit from it and in order to have peace of heart. If there is no acceptance, there will never be any peace in this world or in the next. This solution was given to us in the Garden of Gethsemane. You can picture the scene. Our Lord prostrate on the ground, his face against the dirt. And what was going through his mind? It was the thought of all of his coming sufferings. And he didn't see them in some general way like we do. We see our own pains when we're about to go into the dentist for a root canal or something. We just see this general notion of pain. But our Lord saw in his divine knowledge, he saw all of the sufferings, all of the details of his suffering, and he felt them keenly. And on top of it, he saw the sins of each one of us, not just as in general, but again, with his divine knowledge, he saw each particular sin and how we would despise our Lord for some passing pleasure. And all of this weighed on him. He didn't just ignore it. That wouldn't do any good. He didn't rebel against it either. But he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Those are the perfect words for one who is suffering. They are words of acceptance and resignation. But you know that we're not supposed to accept suffering just for the sake of suffering, just as we don't do penance for its own sake either. That's not natural to our human nature, and it's unworthy of being made in the image of God. But rather, when we accept pain, we do so for a number of reasons. The first reason being that it is a consequence of the fall. Think of it. You and I sin. How many times would you say we sin a day? Well, it says the just man, the holy man, sins 7 times a day. What about you and me, who maybe aren't as holy as we should be, aren't as sanctified as we must be? How many sins would you say we commit through malice or weakness or whatever? How many sins? 20? Maybe if you're having a good day. 50, 60? Maybe so. But we all commit many sins per day. And yet we still have the gumption to rebel against these sufferings when we know that God sends them to us in his providence to help us atone for all of these sins that we have committed. We see God's loving ways of providence, and yet all we can do is rebel. Or he might send them to us as a proof of our love for him, or as a proof of our obedience to his holy will. So often throughout the day, I'm sure all of you do it, you either say the Our Father and you ask to do God's will, or throughout the day you might say your own prayers, "Help me always to do your will, Almighty God." We've all said it, and yet when the cross comes and God gives us the chance to do his will, to accept it, then we fail, and we fail miserably. It could be for any number of reasons that he permits sufferings, but it's not because he delights and is happy to see his people suffer, but he does will our obedience to his will, cost what it may, and it will cost much. But remember, the more you try to ignore it or the more you try to rebel against it, the more pain it's going to cause you. And it's not only going to be temporary pain, but eternal pain. Remember that. We can, though, unite our sufferings to our Lord's and bear our crosses with this spirit of obedience and of resignation. But I end with this, a few other thoughts. Pain is ultimately a mystery. We don't know each time that our Lord sends us a cross. We don't know his exact purpose for sending this particular cross. It is a mystery. And God could have made a universe without suffering. He could have made an earth without pain. He could have made your life without the least cross to carry. But yet he chose to do it, and he chose to do it in his wisdom. He knows that he can draw greater good through these crosses than without them. And these crosses are a source of much good and spiritual profit. So take this advice. With all of your crosses that weigh so heavily on you right now, imagine our Lord in his passion and see how he bore his cross, not only in the Garden of Gethsemane, but when that cross, some say, was made of pine wood and weighed up to 300 pounds, when it was placed on his shoulders, do you think that he simply tried to ignore or deny his suffering? No. He recognized that it was there. Do you think that he rebelled like the bad thief and tried to throw the cross down? Well, no, not that either. What did he do? It says in some private revelations that when the cross was laid on his shoulder, he kissed the hard wood of that cross and he embraced it to his sacred heart. And when he was told to pick up his cross and to walk to Calvary, the place of execution, he didn't rebel here. Even though the cross came through a third person, he didn't rebel. He picked it up, and with humility, he walked. And as he was walking, people would throw stones at him, and as he fell, they would scourge him and rush him to get up and to keep walking to his place of Calvary. Well, patiently and with all humility and acceptance, he picked up his cross, and he continued going. And when he finally reached the top of the hill and fell for the final time before he would die, well, then he was immediately told to stand up and place himself on the cross. And there once again, there was no rebellion. He obeyed. He accepted his lot in this life. And when the nails were being driven slowly by the hammer into his hands and feet, he didn't let out a single cry of complaint. He accepted all of this for us. And when you see him finally give up the ghost and realize again, that was for all of us, then look at our Lord, look at him, dead on the cross, and say to yourself, if Christ, my Master and my Savior, my God, could suffer so much for me with such patience and resignation, to the will of his Father, well then surely I can bear, at least try to make an effort to bear all of the crosses that our Lord sends to me and bear them with him and for his sake. For after all, we are the sons of God and joint heirs with Christ, but yet so if we suffer with him. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen.